The reason is the Passover. He's telling Adonai tells us. Actually, what he did was he told Moses to go into Pharaoh. So that's where we get the name. And the reason for Passover that we still maintain today, as I spoke about in our drash, the reason for Passover and the reason for all Scripture is to transmit our faith, to pass on our faith from one generation to the next. Amen. Our faith in the one true God of Israel and to all the world. And we know that's the purpose of the Passover, and we know that's the purpose of Scripture because of Scripture. In fact, the very beginning, the first couple of verses of this week's portion tells us this. So let's read over Exodus 10, verses 1 and 2 together. Then Adonai said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh, because I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, so that I might show these my sign in their midst, and so you may tell your sons and your grandchildren what I have done in Egypt, as well as my signs that I did among them, so you may know that I am Adonai." So that last line, "so that you may know that I am Adonai," it's not just so that they personally, the ones who are leaving Egypt, not just so they would know, it's so that all generations afterwards would know. It's the reason we do the Passover every year. You know, we don't just say, "Hey, don't forget God saved us," and then never tell the story. Maybe it's one of those stories you pull out, you know, like the time Grandpa drove into the garage. You tell that story once every couple of years because it's funny. No, there's a real purpose to the Passover story. It's to remind us over and over so we never forget, so we pass it on from one generation to another of who Adonai is. So, if we're to pass on this knowledge, if we're to pass on who he is, we're pass on his instructions of Scripture, we need to know what we need to know in order to do it. What are the things that we have to be? What are the things that we need to do in order to pass on the knowledge of Adonai? And I find that there are really six things that we need to do in order to pass on from generation to generation who Adonai is. So the first is we need to be teachable. We need to be teachable. I know I said, what do we need to do in order to teach someone else? Well, the first thing we need to do is to be teachable. Some would call that having that teachable spirit. Because in order for us to teach someone, we have had to learn it. Because if you come up on it on your own, you're probably not coming up with the exact right thing that Adonai wants passed on. You've probably thrown in a lot of your own flesh into that word. So we need to hear it from Adonai, whether he speaks it through his word or whether he speaks it through the someone else who's standing before you. Me, maybe some other teacher you have. Being teachable means that we're willing to listen and learn from those that Adonai has placed above us. Amen. It's also learning from the experiences of others, observing their lives. Now, there are three ways of learning. One is learning from mistakes. So Yeshua in Revelation 3:19 says this, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Yeshua says that out of love, that he rebukes and he disciplines. We're rebuked and disciplined because we make mistakes. Some people, everybody should call those mistakes normally sin. They're the sins in our lives. That's why he rebukes us. That's why he disciplines us. Not to be mean, not to be a taskmaster, but to be the teacher that we need so that we learn. Now, the second way that we learn is from others. And quite frankly, I would always prefer to learn from someone else's mistakes. Right? I don't want to have to make all the mistakes myself. I make enough mistakes on my own. I would really rather share the fun. If we watch someone, we look at someone, we can learn from others. Proverbs 18:15 says, "A discerning heart gains knowledge. The ear of the wise seeks knowledge." How does the discerning heart gain this knowledge? Watching and hearing others. Wisdom plays out in front of us all the time. Sometimes it's wisdom of what to do, and sometimes it's wisdom not to do something. In both cases, it's wisdom that we should have. Proverbs 1:7-9 says, "The fear of Adonai is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Hear, my son, your father's instructions, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a garland of grace for your head and a chain to adorn your neck." Adonai does place people in our midst. Normally, the first people they place in our midst are our parents. Perhaps it's someone who took that parental role in your life, if not your parents themselves. It's up to you to hear. It's up to you to observe. It's up to you to learn from them. You have to hear them. You have to observe them. You have to be able to accept in your heart what they have to share with you. Now, the third way to learn is from Adonai himself. He'll teach us if we are willing to be taught. Look what it says in Proverbs about learning from the Lord. Proverbs 3:1. "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my mitzvot. For length of days and years of life and shalom, they will add to you." He wants to teach us. You can advance to the next slide, actually. The one, yeah, that one. He wants to teach us. He sent his son Yeshua to teach us. He gives us shalom, peace. But we need to be open to those lessons from him. Yeshua himself tells us that he can give us shalom and rest. Matthew 11:28. "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Yeshua tells us that his teaching is good, and he will give us rest. That what we learn from him is a light burden, not that heavy burden that we can get from the world. In fact, if you read through it, it sounds like he's pleading with us, "Please accept my teaching because it's easy, because it's good for you, We have to be open to his teaching. Now, the second thing that we have to do in order to go out and teach others is read the scriptures regularly. We show ourselves to be open to his teaching and therefore able to teach others by being in his word regularly. Reading, if not every day, and I know it's a great goal to want to read every day. We really should want to be in his word every day. We also know that sometimes life happens. That's okay. Don't beat yourself up for the days that you miss. Your goal is your goal. Doesn't mean you hit it every time, but you want to be in his word as much as possible. Reading and rereading over and over, seeing the same stories over and over, because every time you read them, you see it from a different angle. You see it from a different facet. He shows you something different. Seeing new things in old words. This is what we get out of reading the scriptures regularly. This is how we prepare ourselves to pass on faith to the next generation. Look what it says in 2 Timothy, starting in 3:14. It's one that many of us know. Is this the one many of us know? Yeah. You, however, continue in what you have learned. This is Rav Shaul's words to Timothy, Timothy being that teacher. You, however, continue in what you have learned and what you have become convinced of, for you know from who you have learned, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to make you wise, leading to salvation through trusting in Messiah Yeshua. All scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching, for reproof, for restoration, and for training in righteousness, so that the person belonging to God may be capable, fully equipped for every good deed. We're told to continue in what we have learned. One of the things we should have learned is to read scripture on a regular basis. Don't stop because you've read it through once already. We all know somebody says, I've read the Bible once. I got through the whole thing. Don't stop because you've read it once or twice or however many times you have. I wouldn't even want to ask Dr. Dave, how many times you've read it through? He's run out of fingers. He's run out of toes. He's using his hair at this point to figure out how many times he's... But that's where we should be. Because every time it's something new. Every time. Maybe it's brand new because you never saw it before. Maybe it's brand new because you just forgot it. Either way, that's okay. Just keep reading. You're going to see something new and different every time when you read it with the Ruach HaKodesh's help. The Ruach is going to guide you through. He's going to disclose something new. It might be just something small that's made me just for you. It might be something huge that you can't withhold it from telling everybody about it, but he's going to reveal something to you. All right, the third thing we need to do is study scripture. Well, wait a second, you just said read, and now you say study. Isn't that the same thing? No, that's not the same thing. There are times that you just will read the scripture, but then there should be times that you take time to study the scripture. That means looking into them intently, using reference material that's trustworthy. It means perhaps reading the same passage over and over and over again, and in more than just one translation. If you're dependent upon just one translation, well, you're getting the Word of God, but you may not be getting every facet of it. And I'm not saying that every single translation is trustworthy and true, but almost every single one has something you can get out of it. And if you're using them in composite with each other, comparing them to others, and then going back to the original language to see what word was used there and how do people interpret that word. Now you're into study and not just reading. Now you're doing something different. Now you're really digging in. Philippians 4:8, starting there, says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any virtue and if there is anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, put these things into practice, and the God of Shalom will be with you." And then once you do these things, you must put them into action in your life. They're not just meant to stay on the page. Put them into action in your own life so that others can see and learn from you. Even more than just reading the Word, studying the Word, meditate on the Word. Think about it. Joshua 1:8. "This book of the Torah should not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will be successful." It means putting in some extra time in meditating on a passage to see the deeper meaning. And I'm not talking about sitting there with your legs crossed. That's not the meditation I'm talking about. It means just pondering and turning it over and thinking about it, praying about it. Maybe you're doing it while you're doing the dishes. Maybe you're doing it while you're vacuuming. Maybe you're doing it while you're driving. What did I read this morning? What did that word really mean to me? What is the Lord trying to show me? You know, when I worked in the bank, of course, you know, I say meditate on the Word always. But when I worked in the bank, I had a lot of numbers in front of me. And quite frankly, they needed my full attention. But then there were other times that I was able to do some filing and meditate on the Word. When you can, you turn back to the Word. Meditate on the Word. You look to think about the last thing you read. How does it fit in with the rest of Scripture? You keep going back to it. Now, the fourth thing you do in order to teach others is ask questions. So, who do we ask questions of when we're learning the Word and preparing to teach it to others? Well, the first thing you do is you ask Adonai. Ask the Lord. Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. "Show me your ways, Adonai. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth. And teach me, for you are God, my salvation. For you I wait all day." Going to the one who wrote the book is always a great idea. The Ruach was sent to be our counselor and our teacher. Look what Rav Shaul says in the book of James. No, what am I saying? Look what James says in the book of James. How did I write that? James 1, 5 and 6 says, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all without hesitation, without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave in the ocean, blown and tossed in the wind." Over and over again, we see in scriptures the disciples going back to Yeshua, asking for explanations of a parable he just told or whatever he was doing. They went back to the one who wrote the book. They may not have known it at the moment, but they knew he was the Messiah. He truly was living God on earth. And they went to him. We can do the same thing. We can go to him. We can pray to him. We can ask him. Meditation and prayer. That's the answer. That's when we're going to get the answers. Of course, I did say go to him first. Absolutely true. Go to Adonai first. But there are people in your midst as well. People who know the word. People who are trustworthy. People you can trust. People who are mature. You can go to them as well. Sometimes we need that counsel in order to figure out the full word. It doesn't mean, just because you need a little help understanding a passage, doesn't make it wrong. It makes it right. That's what people are here. That's why we're a family. To help each other out. To teach each other. To support each other. So the fifth thing we need to do, we need to be as children. The Cambridge Dictionary defines being childlike as showing the good qualities that children have, such as trusting people, being honest, enthusiastic. I read that Webster's Dictionary describes childlike as becoming a child, meek, submissive, and dutiful. Now look at what Yeshua says about the children around him. Matthew 18:3. And he called a child to himself, set him in the midst of them, the disciples, and said, Amen, I tell you, unless you turn and become like children, you shall never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then shall humble himself like this child, this one is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Becoming like a child in Messiah is not becoming weak or totally dependent upon other people, but it's becoming humble. It's becoming weak to self so that Adonai can be your total strength. And becoming totally dependent upon the Ruach HaKodesh and not upon yourself. It's becoming submissive only to him and dutiful totally to him. And to him alone. That's becoming a childlike. That's the child he wants us to become. That's being his children. And the final thing that we need to do is to teach others. If we're going to teach others, we need to teach others. Doesn't that make sense? Can't do it without doing it. That's our final point. Go and teach others, to be more specific. Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, immersing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Ruach HaKodesh, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Yeshua, in this Great Commission to each of us, tells the disciples that they go out and teach. Not whatever they want to teach, but to teach what he taught them. They're not to say, I believe this is what's good. But they're to say, here is the good news as shown by Adonai. This is what is right to teach. Titus 2:1, I'm going to read the first five verses of Titus 2, starting in verse 1. But as for you, speak things that are fitful for sound instruction. Older men to be clear-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, in patience. Likewise, older women are to be sanctified in demeanor, not backbiting or enslaving to too much wine. Let them be teachers of what is good, so they may train the young women to love their husbands and to love their children, to be self-controlled, pure, managing their household, kind, submitted to their own husbands, so that God's word may not be dishonored. Teaching others is to teach them the good news, how to live by the instructions of Adonai, and how to get along together. It's being clear-minded and acting as one who brings dignity, not just to yourself, but to the one who sent you as an ambassador. It's being self-controlled and loving, being loving towards others. In just a few words, it is bringing honor to our Creator and the lover of our soul. That's what it means to go out and teach. So there are six things that we need to do in order to bring to the next generation the word of Adonai. We need to be teachable, regardless of where the lesson comes from. Because Adonai is not a God of just one way. He can teach in many ways. We need to read the scriptures on a regular basis, again and again. And then we need to get involved in the scripture. We need to study the scripture. We need to see what it says. We need to dig in with some resources. We need to ask questions, both of Yeshua, of the Ruach HaKodesh, which means we're asking God Himself, the one who wrote the words, and sometimes to each other. We need to be as children. We need to be that childlike person who submits himself to Adonai, who is dutiful to him, so that we can do the works he wants us to do. And then we need to go to be able to teach others. We need to go where they are. You know, we could sit here in the sanctuary and say, the next person who walks in that door, I'm going to teach them. Tell you what, you're going to be sitting alone for a long time. Yeah, then I will bring people to us. But what does his word say? Go and teach them to be my disciples. Go, bo, in the Hebrew. Go. So these are the things to keep in mind when you are going to be teaching the next generation. Because you're the one who he's calling to teach the next generation. It's not just your children. It's a whole generation. It's not just the generation. I'm telling you, it's not even just the generation below you, the younger ones. Sometimes it's going to be a generation above you. I'm still trying to teach my parents to accept Messiah Yeshua. Because I'm not just looking down, I'm looking around. So don't limit yourself who you're teaching, who you consider to be worthy of hearing the word of Messiah. Teach everyone. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can make ourselves ready to teach everyone your word. Teach everyone who you are. Teach everyone of your love and your mercy. Teach everyone your good news. That there is a path that leads to you. Ruach, I just asked that for each person hearing these words today, that you'd place it upon their heart to prepare themselves to teach the next generation. And Father, if anyone's listening to this message who might be considered that next generation, who do not yet know you, whether, regardless of how old they are, regardless of whether they're 90 or 9, that you'd soften their heart to hear words that would work upon their heart to let them know you are the mighty God of Israel, the one who desires to save all. We just thank you. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen. That's who he is, and that's who we should be. Amen? Amen. So, before we close service, there's one thing that I do want to do. One of our family members have lost one of their family members. Carol Avera, his father-in-law, the father of Tony Avera, has passed away. His name was Grover Avera. So we're going to say Kaddish for him. I'm going to ask everyone to please stand in agreement with her. I'm going to say it. We can say it together in English, and I'll read it off in Hebrew. If you know it, you can join with me as I read the Hebrew. Magnified and sanctified be his great name in the world, which he has created according to his will. May he establish his kingdom during your life and during your days and during the life of the whole house of Israel, even swiftly and soon, and say amen. Let his great name be blessed forever into all eternity, blessed, praised, and glorified, exalted, extolled, and honored. Magnified and lauded be the name of the Holy One. Blessed is he, though he be high above all the blessings and songs, praises and consolations which are uttered in the world, and say amen. May there be abundant peace from heaven and life for us and for all Israel, to which we say amen. May he who makes peace in the high places make peace upon us and upon all Israel, and say amen. Yikadal v'yikadash amei rabah. V'alma devaruchute, v'yimlech malchute, b'chayekon, uv'yomechon, uv'chaye dekol beit Yisrael, v'agala uzman kariv v'mru, amen. Yehe shamei rabah, Meravachach la'alma ul'alme almaya. Yitbarach v'yittabach v'yitpara v'yitraman v'yitnase v'yithadar v'yithale v'yithalal shemei dekudisha rechu la'ale min kol berchata v'shirata tushbakata v'nei chadmata Da Ami Ran Bialma Vimru Amen. Yehe Shlama Rabba Bin Shamaya Vikhaim Alenu Vialkol Yisrael Vimru Amen. Ose Shalom Bim Romab Hu Yese Shalom Alenu Vialkol Yisrael Vimru Amen. Father, we ask for comfort to the family members, to all of those who've known and love Grover Avera, to those who are a part of the family. May you bring them comfort and joy in the remembrance of his life. May his memory be a blessing. Amen. Amen. All right. You know, if you notice through the through this whole prayer, death is not mentioned once. But it is a blessing of his name, because even as we go through life and death, he is above all, in control of all things. So we praise and honor him through it all. Amen. Amen. So let's close the service as we do with the Aaronic blessing, that piece of liturgy from number 6, starting in 24. It's the way that Moses told Aaron to bless the people of Israel. It's been used over the generations, over thousands of years. It's the reason that the Israelites are blessed. It's the reason that you're going to be blessed as I speak it over you, that His blessing be upon you. Reach out your right hand to me. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Yevrecha Adonai merishmarecha. Yareh Adonai banavalecha vichunecha. Yasar Adonai banavalecha viassemblecha. Shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom, Amen and Amen.